The first book of Kings, 19th chapter. And we just want to tie this in with the lesson for today. Next week's lesson will have to do with a man by the name of Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat was a godly king. But you know, Jehoshaphat made some mistakes. First of all, we find that his son married a daughter of Ahab. And Ahab was a very ungodly man. And that daughter's name was Jezebel. And then we find that it wasn't long after that before Joshua's one of his sons ended up marrying Jezebel and Ahab's daughter. Athaliah, another infamous queen. And it all came about because of, you could call it friendliness. And that doesn't say we're not to be friends with our neighbors in that. But we're not to be hobnobbing with them if they're not saved. And evidently that's what took place. We find that Jehoshaphat didn't make one mistake. And Ahab literally set him up to be killed in his place. And after Ahab's death, we find that he falls into the same mistake with Ahab's son. And that's because of rubbing shoulders with the enemy. And those that haven't trusted Christ as Savior, remember this, they're the enemy of God's people. Whether they're outspoken about it or not, you're on one side or the other. You either know Christ is your Savior or you belong to the devil. Those that weren't His, what did the Lord say of them? Ye are of your father, the devil. So if God isn't our Father, if we haven't trusted Christ as our Savior, then the devil is our father. And Satan is going to take as many with him as he can. Not that he's going to be sitting there gloating, he's going to be in the same boat as the rest. Only worse. He knew better. The greater our knowledge, the greater will be our punishment when we reject Christ. But even for the child of God, there will be different grades of joy. Let's say all of you folks were living a godly life than myself, and very possibly you do. You'd have more joy than me, but I'd never know it, would I? Because I never tasted it. But all of us will be on a little different plane. Let us look at the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, the last, let's go up to the 15th verse. And the Lord, or Jehovah, said unto him, that is Elijah, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Molah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy stead. Now, people think this was in the short term, but actually there was about 20 years. Remember when Elijah was under the juniper tree and he asked the Lord to take his life? There were no others than himself that hadn't bowed the knee, and yet the Lord told him, I have 7,000 others that had not bowed the knee to Baal. And Elijah asked that the Lord should take his life. This is 20 years after. The Lord doesn't always answer our request just when we want it done. So he tells him to go and anoint Elisha, that he would take his, or be in his stead. Verse 17, and it came to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yea, I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elisha passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. Now this was a sign of asking this young man to be his follower or servant or helper. And evidently God, remember, knows the beginning from the end. He knows the heart of every one of us. In fact, he knew our being before this world was created, before the universe was created. He knows all things, the beginning from the end. He knew what this man Elisha would be, and he told Elijah to go and cast his mantle upon him, to call him to take his place. Verse 20, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" Now, we've made mention before, there are some verses that tell us that if father or mother, brother or sister, wife or husband, whatever the case be, comes first, then you can't be Christ's disciple. And I say that's pretty hard. We are to love them. Now, our love toward them is to be in comparison as literally as hatred compared to our love to Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus first. And if all of us have Christ Jesus first in our lives, our love for one another will be where it belongs. Verse 21, and he returned back from him and took the yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh and the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. All right, now over to 2 Kings. It'll be the second chapter. 2 Kings chapter 2. And it came to pass when the Lord, or Jehovah, would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry ye here, I pray thee, for Jehovah saith unto me, sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As Jehovah liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that Jehovah will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he said, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." Elisha said unto him, "Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for Jehovah hath sent me to Jericho." And he said, "As Jehovah liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that Jehovah will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he answered, "Yea, I know it. Hold your peace." And Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee, here, for Jehovah hath sent me to the Jordan." And he said, as Jehovah liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by the Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and they were divided to one side and to the other. So they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they had gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I am taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and separated them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. And he took also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, "Where is Jehovah, God of Elijah?" And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets who were looking on at Jericho saw him, they said, excuse me, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, behold, now there are with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest perhaps the spirit of Jehovah hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, ye shall not send. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, send. They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. And when they had come again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, did I not say unto you, go not? And the men of the city said unto Elijah, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, the water is bad, and the ground barren. And he said, bring me a new cruse, and put salt in it. And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the springs of the water, and cast the salt in there, and said, thus saith Jehovah, I have healed these waters, there shall not be from there any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spoke. And he went up from there unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth youths out of the city, and mocked him, and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them, and cursed them in the name of Jehovah. And there came forth 2 she-bears out of the woods, and tore 42 ewes of them. And he went from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us look to the Lord a moment. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the wonderful salvation that has been offered full and free to each of us. We marvel that the one who is the very creator of the universe was the one that could say, hear my sin, me. He left heaven's glory. He took upon himself a body. And that body for but one purpose. That he might become our substitute. That he might take our place. We find that he tasted death for every man. And yet, the way of salvation being a free gift is only to those that reach out and take it unto themselves. We thank thee for the precious word that thou hast given to us. A word that we can use to have our God speak to us through the word, and we in turn speak to thee through prayer. May the lives of each of us here that know Christ as Savior, and we trust that all have trusted thy dear Son, may we grow in the grace and the knowledge of himself. And may it be more the word of God speaking to the hearts of each of us rather than the words of the speaker. Many times the speaker can enlighten us in different things and different ways of seeing things. Yet ultimately it's the word of God. It is the word of God that does the work. The Holy Spirit using it to win souls to himself. Holy Spirit using that same word to build each of us up in Christ Jesus, to encourage us. Now, Father, we just ask that thou would guide and direct as we go into this little lesson. These things we ask in his name and for his sake. Amen. I think we're going to have to put some oil or something on this bench up here. All right, let's go back to the first part of chapter 2. We find it a number of years before that Elijah had, as it were, anointed Elisha to take his place and the other 2 men their places. Now this is near the end of Elijah's life, and we find in verse 1, they came to a place called Bethel, or Gilgal is where they started, excuse me. Now let's look at the terms here, the words. Elijah, my God is Jehovah. Gilgal, reproach was removed. Elisha, God is salvation. Bethel, of course, is house of God. And then Jericho, the first victory in the land. We find now as they come to Gilgal, or they're at Gilgal, they're leaving there, it is the place where reproach was removed. Most of the time there, at the very beginning, we find that the men were circumcised. But through most of that time, they had not been circumcised. And this was a sign of the separation of the Jew from the world, as it were. Now, you and I that know Christ as Savior, we're circumcised spiritually. We're separated from the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Now, you say, well, the Muslims have it. Well, remember who the half-brother of Abraham, or Isaac, rather. The children. One half went one way and one half went the other. One was the promised and one was the flesh. So we find that they were at Gilgal, and this is where, when they came out of Egypt, speaking to us of the world, and we are to come out from the world. We're in the world, but we're not supposed to be of it. And you know, it's very easy to go along with what's in the world. Now, some of the older ones here, we came along when most things were done with pick and shovel. That's hard to realize. Now machines do by far the most of it, even in the mines. It's machines that do the most of it. We find, too, that men have become weaker. Well, you say, yes, but look at these big men that are playing football. They're exceptional, plus the fact a lot of them are stuck on steroids, and they're using weights. An illustration is to strength. I can't remember the man's name. He was a football player. He and what was the Indian? He was the great, anybody remember? Played football. Boy, oh boy, isn't this bad. I'm not the only one that's forgetful. But anyway, they were the only two men in history that had two All-American positions the same year. Both of them on offense were fullback. On defense, they were tackled. And yet they were All-American in both cases. I almost had the one's name, the Polish name. But anyway, now he's professional. 6'2", 220 pounds. You know where they found him? Where did they find Elisha? He was found behind oxen. This man was found behind horses. He played for either the Detroit Lions or Chicago Bears, one of the two. 1 minute left in the game, the score was 0-0. I know a few here have played football, so they will understand what it means. He came back into the huddle, Bronco Nagurski. All he said was, give me the ball. He didn't tell any player anything, just give me the ball. So his own line didn't know where he was going, so they couldn't very well open the hole for him. They couldn't very well get out of his way even. He went through them. He went through the opposition line, through the linebackers, through the cornerbacks, through the safety, and he went off the end of the field, through the end zone. So his touchdown, game was over. He wanted to know who the last man was. 2x4 goalpost edgewise. He went right through it. His son played for Michigan. He was 20 pounds heavier than his dad. He was 2 inches taller. But he said this, I'm not dead. He said he couldn't have run through a 2x4 goalpost. How did the toughness? The toughness came up a different. We go back farther into history. The roller steel mills came into being in 1830. That's when you had refined flour. We find the British Army recruiting in the 1890s for the Boer War. And they said the men then were weaker than the men before them. First World War, the men of the 1890s were stronger. Second World War, the men of the First World War were stronger. But what doesn't the scripture tell us that? Weaker and wiser. Did we get near the end? Now that wise, I think a better term might be more knowledgeable. We've got a great deal of knowledge. Knowledge is multiplying so fast you can't keep up with it. But like one doctor told me, he said, we're getting so much knowledge that we don't know what to do with it. We're actually creating 10 problems for everything we gain. But God told us in advance. Well, God warned them the same thing here. And they were told to come out from the world, to be separate, to be different. They were in the world. Here we find that before they did anything, the men had to all be circumcised. It's a sign that they were different to the world. Does the world know that you and I are different from them? Or do we fit and mingle right in with them and nobody knows the difference? For those of us that were in the service, if we were saved, and I know at least two of us were saved at the time, maybe three of us, did the world know that we were saved? Or did we just keep quiet? There's a tale told of a young man went to the logging camps. A little different today, now they got chainsaws. Back then it was the crosscut saw and the broad axe. Too good a day. You want to make a man, you send him to the logging camps. Physically, he would come out a man, or he wouldn't make it. After 4 years, he came back, and he's a big broth of a man now. Big, powerful man. He went in, he was a Christian, and they knew he'd have problems. What kind of problems did you have? None. You had no problem. Did you stand up for the Lord? Did you speak for the Lord? You just kept quiet. Is that what you and I are doing when we're out in the world? Or do we speak up for the Lord? We witness for the Lord. We're told to witness in season and out of season. Israel hadn't been doing that for years. Then they left Gilgal, the place of separation. Well, let's look at a few verses while we're at Gilgal. Joshua, I can see these little terms. I was going to bring my magnifying glass and I didn't. Joshua, the 5th chapter. Joshua 5, and the 9th verse. The Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Wherefore the name of the place was called Gilgal unto this day, or separation, or the cutting away of the flesh, putting flesh down. You and I, that have trusted Christ as Savior, were to do what? Daily. Crucify self daily. Because the old flesh is going to want to creep up. It's going to want its way. That's the old nature. And then I'd like to look at Colossians 2. Colossians 2 and verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. We're separated unto Christ. We're taken away out, separated from the world. Now Romans 6. Now the physical circumcision of the day is mostly it's for a hygienic reason. It's not other than if you were a Jew. Romans 6, verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And then verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under law, but under sin. And this was the situation of Israel. This should be the situation of all of us that know Christ as Savior. And they go from there. They're headed from there down to Gilgal. And we find that there are tests that are put before Elisha. The prophets come out and warn them, your master's going to be taken. He told them, just hold the peace. And we find, too, that as Elijah goes his way, Elisha tells them to hold their peace. In other words, he's going to cleave to Elijah. He's not going to let go of him. Is that how you and I are with our Lord? Do we cleave to the Lord and what he teaches? Do we cleave to the Lord and his wishes in our lives? So now we find that they're going down. They're going to Bethel, the house of God. How anxious are we to be in the house of God? By the way, each one of us are part of the house of God. We're part of the bride of Christ. We're all, each one, part of the household of faith. The moment we trust Christ as Savior, but that we remain babes all of our lives. The Lord God expects us to grow spiritually. Now, Wanda and TJ just had another youngster. And if that youngster stopped growing, they'd be worried. I dare say at this stage of the game, they can almost see growth day by day. They can see the difference. As you start getting older, that starts slowing down until you get to a peak. And for you young folks, after you get that peak, it's whether you realize it or not, it's a gradual slide down. You may pick up a little bit here and there, but then you're going to go back down. All right, and then from Bethel, they're headed for Jericho. And what does Jericho speak to us of? Remember, it was told that if Jericho were to be built again, after it was destroyed, it would be done in the death of the builder's first son and the death of his last son by the time it would be finished. They were warned not to build it. But Jericho was a beautiful place, if I'm not mistaken, the place of the 12 palms. It was an oasis. You were coming out of the heat, in the heat of the desert. We find it was the place of the first victory. What was the first thing when they went to Jericho? Jericho was the first one they defeated. And they did it by how? Obeying God. Can you imagine the folks in Jericho when they see these people marching around the city 7 days and nobody said a word? Then the seventh day they're told to blast on the trumpets. And after the seventh time they were all to shout. Excuse me, the last day, I believe the trumpets weren't blown at all. And it was after the seventh trip around, the trumpets blared and the people shouted and the walls collapsed. And the scientists today have found that the walls didn't just crumble out like this. They literally sank into the earth. Parts of it maybe have crumbled, but they literally sank into the earth and the Israelites just walked right over them. And destroyed the enemy. Who gave the victory? God. Who gives us the victory in everything that we do? The Lord God. We can't do it in our own selves. If we try to do, young man, well, he's a middle-aged man now. He's had cancer. He's born again. Goes to a Baptist church. And he thinks a lot of it is willpower. Willpower comes into it, but who gave you the willpower to begin with? The Lord God. But if you're going to try to defeat these things merely by willpower, friend, you're not going to do it. You're going to fall flat on your face. If you've got willpower and the Lord helping you, it might be a little easier. The things of the world are going to trip you up. I'd like to look at a few verses. Genesis, the third chapter. And the 17th verse. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, and dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. The earth was perfect before that. The woman fell because of lack of understanding. She was beguiled. We find that in Timothy, Jude. I think it's Timothy. She was beguiled. She was fooled. Adam did it knowing exactly what he was doing. But why did he do it? We find that in the same place. He did it because of his love for the woman. Don't think a woman can't have a big effect on a man. A lot of the strings of power are pulled by the women behind the scenes. We find that he did it because of his love for her. But we can look at something else now. Everybody saved? Sister-in-law saved? Okay. We find the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ here. He died for his bride. We're the bride. And the suffering that the Lord went through is nothing to what Adam went through. Yet what Adam did has its effect on all the generations from his time to the present. Well, what the Lord Jesus Christ has done has its effect for eternity. For those of us that trust Him as our Savior, that's how much He loved the church, His bride, the house, the temple. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have? You're not of your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I'd like to look at another verse, John 4. John 4 and the 10th verse. 4:10. All right. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From where then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself and his sons and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. For the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me of this water, that I may thirst not, neither come here again. Now, you know, she was thinking of it in the physical sense. But as we read this story on farther, she realizes. And she was the first missionary of our time, anyway. And she went into the city, and she told the men of the city what had taken place. Then I'd like to look at 2 Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians 5, start with verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things, not some, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's for you and I. That's given to us to pass on, to teach others, to tell others of. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we beg you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for he hath made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. What else can we ask for? And yet we find that the Lord has prepared homes that we will never, in this scene, will never be able to imagine. Let's look at that a moment. 1 Corinthians. I think it's 2. Look at my dad, you can't see it. 1 Corinthians 2. And if I'm not mistaken, the 9th verse. But it is written, Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And we're going to be like himself. You know, we could spend our life learning from this book. If we try to do it all in ourselves, we won't be any farther ahead than the ones that went before us. Those that have gone before, they've left books, they've left manuscripts, concordances, all that can help us in the study of the Word. But we should advance from there on. But the day is coming. Science has come up with this. The perfect mind will be capable, or is capable, if it were perfect, of learning over 800 new items per minute for 1 million years. See, we can't even guess at anything like that. Our loving Heavenly Father, Father of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we thank Thee for the great love wherewith Thou hast loved us. The fearful physical suffering that is beyond anything that we can perceive. And then there was a spiritual, mental suffering that only Christ Himself is able to take in. And He cried in anguish from the cross, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? He wasn't speaking as God, the Son, but He was rather speaking as that perfect sacrifice, the perfect man, the last Adam. Up to this point, we find that then they two went together down from a past eternity to this point. For 3 hours, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and all of those in heaven had to turn their back on the Creator of all things. All things were made by Him and for Him. Yet here He was, giving His all for a little creature on the very, very tiny planet in the universe, that we might have eternal life, that we might be with Himself, that we might be like unto Himself. What an amazing love, an amazing God. And Father, as we leave this place, we think of the many that have been laid aside with illness. Some very seriously. We think of Johnny Hambright at the present. Quite time. He's been seriously ill at home. Now he's rushed to the hospital. Think also of your brother Chuck Hubbard. Brain cancer. And almost completely helpless. Thank the Lord that in the morning he was a little better than usual, so maybe he had just overdone it. And our dear sister Dora with cancer. Then there's others with problems that maybe we know nothing of. And yet, in many ways, maybe just as serious, maybe more so. We ask that Thou would see the needed blessing in each case. We think of Wanda, with all the children, and now with another wee one to take care of. I would guide and direct TJ as the head of the house and provide for them and the many of others of God's people in like manner. Think of the various conferences that will be coming up. I pray that Thou would guide and direct those that are involved in getting them prepared and for those that later on may be going to them. These things we ask in His name and for His sake. Amen.